Good morning. There is always a sense of triumph when we make it to church on time on the first Sunday of Daylight Savings Time, so congratulations to all of you and to myself. Well done. But the rain has passed. It is a sunshiny day, and how good it is to be here in a spirit of worship in the beauty of this place together. A special welcome, in particular, those who are here visiting with us, and those who are here for the first time, a special welcome to you. In front of you, in your pews, there is a card that looks a little bit like this. If you would take a moment at some point throughout our service, except during the sermon, to fill that out for us, just your name and some brief information so that we can get to know you a bit better and thank you for joining us for worship this morning, and then an opportunity for you to learn a bit more about us. But I do want to extend a special welcome to you and let you know, as well as everyone gathered this morning, that it is important that you know that no matter who you are, and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome. I do have a few announcements to share this morning. We are still in the midst of the season of Lent. Lots of things on the horizon happening, lots of things to pay attention to now as well. There are some announcements in your bulletins. I want to draw attention to another announcement about our Connect 3 mission project. This is sort of being headed up by our children, collecting books and solar-powered flashlights, as well as financial contributions to the children of Malawi. There's more information here you can read about. There's also a suitcase full of books and goodies over there you can look at to draw some inspiration, but they are certainly piling up and a wonderful mission and cause for us to grab hold of. There's some information in your bulletin about the artist series quickly approaching on Palm Sunday, so mark that in your calendars and take a moment to learn some more about that. Also, a little announcement in the corner as well as around the building about collecting baked goods for Easter morning sunrise service. We don't need you to sign up. We don't need you to bring them ahead of time. In fact, please don't bring them ahead of time, but just bring them to the park with you on Sunday morning. We're going to resurrect, no pun intended, the tradition of gathering with some coffee and baked goods after our sunrise service. So please think about contributing to that. Wow, I'm full of puns this morning. Oh, my. All right, more announcements. On the back of your bulletin, there is sort of a dwindling list of activities happening in the Lenten and Holy Week season, but Holy Week is still in front of us, so please do pay attention to that. Lots of things to be a part of during Holy Week. In the narthex, as well as the elevator lobby, we are still looking for greeters for Sunday morning, as well as social hosts for Sunday morning. So please take a moment to look at your calendar and consider whether or not you're able to contribute to either one of those causes, and make sure to sign up. And I have one announcement here that we have 15 quarts of soup frozen right after our first sale. So ham and bean soup looks like what they've got. So see us downstairs in Fellowship Hall after church if you are interested in collecting the last bits of our soup from our soup sale. And I believe those are all of my announcements, but I'm going to invite Margie Jewell to come forward to give a personnel update.
Good morning. I just wanted to give you a couple of quick updates on what's going on with our two job positions. The communication coordinator job is moving right along. In fact, this week we will start in-person interviews for some of our top candidates. So hopefully that position will be filled shortly. The other position, looks like Lisa's a little tough cookie to replace. So we're asking if you or a friend, family member, if you know anybody that might be interested in the office manager position. I have job descriptions after the service. There'll be some at each door you can pick up. You can also go to our website and apply there. The email to reply to is also on here, and you can also reply with Indeed. We're taking your resumes that way. But I wanted to thank everybody that's been helping out. The personnel committee has been working full time. It's unusual that we don't have a meeting every week or a couple times a week. So I just wanted to thank Mark Hogan, Rick O'Connor, Kelly Brezzadola, Sandy Brown, and Mark Bruin has been working really hard with us also. So if you have anybody in mind that you think might fit the position, have them fill out a resume or talk with anybody that's part of our committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Margie, and for all who are heading up our personnel committee and our various search committees, we are very grateful for the work you are doing. And trust God's guidance in the midst of all of it. Lots of announcements to bear in mind this morning, but I'm going to ask you to tuck those away somewhere safe. They'll be there when you are done worshiping for you to reference later. But for now, I want to invite you to shift gears and join me in taking a deep and slow breath. Breathe in God's Spirit that fills this place, fills each one of us as we worship. Take a moment to exhale and to intentionally set aside all that's busying your heart and your mind this morning, all the things that are begging for your attention, so that we can be fully present in this time and in this place as we prepare to worship God. As part of our communal Lenten experience, we have asked you to ponder a question each week. And if you feel moved, write your response on one of the gray strips of paper at the end of your pew. As you respond and complete your gray strip, you can place it in the offering plate when it comes around, or you can come forward at the end of the service and put it in the basket on the communion table, or you can simply leave it on your pew and it will be collected after worship. As you can see on our cross, the responses from the past weeks have already begun to form our chain, a physical representation of all that we carry, all that holds us back from true freedom in Christ. So this week's question to ponder is this: what is stopping you from serving others? What is stopping you from serving others? Going to invite you to stand as we join together in our responsive call to worship. We are servants in training, gathered to learn and listen. We are called as partners in Christ's service. Our service requires us to do things that do not make sense to this world. Our service requires us to share our resources with the needy and vulnerable. Our service requires us to preach the good news of the gospel in word and deed. Our service requires us to honor, glorify, and worship. Come, let us worship God. us join together as we confess our sins by praying the prayer of confession that's printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. Gracious God, we confess that like your disciples, James and John, we think that faithfully following you ought to earn us some sort of reward, benefit, or recognition. This does not make us bad, selfish, or insincere disciples. It simply makes us human. For getting stuck in that human way of thinking and for failing to look beyond our self-serving ways, forgive us. For chasing glory as the world sees it rather than how you see it, forgive us. For pushing ourselves to the front when our presence is needed on the edges, forgive us. Keep reminding us that following you means turning our thinking upside down and filling ourselves with the desire to serve others as willingly as you did. Forgive any reluctance on our part to follow your example. Replace our pursuit of promotion with a pure desire to listen to the needs of others and to respond in love, no strings attached. Amen. Friends, when we come before God to confess our sins, to claim our mistakes, and to own the limitations of our humanity, God offers us abundant grace and forgiveness that opens us up to more life and more love. May we have the grace to accept these gifts this day, and may they change us and shape the way we live and serve in this world. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone today. We continue today with our Lenten worship theme, Follow Me, as our journey into the season of Lent serves as an opportunity to reorient ourselves toward God, as we're invited to listen and follow Jesus through his teachings in the Gospel of Mark. Specifically, today, chapter 10, verses 34 to 45. Today's scripture finds the disciples still vying to be recognized, still vying for greatness. So let us listen with open minds and hearts as we receive these words from the scripture. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Appoint us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to appoint, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Instead, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life in ransom for many." This ends our scripture reading for today.
I'd like to invite the children to come join me on this. I know we were all just together downstairs playing a game, but I have another game for us to look at. Did you ever play a game like this? Yeah. And so what are you trying to do in this game?
Be the last one with the most money.
And are you trying to, like, get to the place where you can win this game? Right. And so we're looking at a Monopoly board, for those of you that are wondering. So you're trying to win. You're trying to have the most money at the end of the game, right? How many winners are there when you play a game like this? There's just one, right? But if we were all playing, there would be a whole lot of us doing all the same stuff, trying to get to the end, right? So did you ever play a game like this with somebody who won that then was going, "Ha ha, I won"? Yeah. So that's kind of like being a sore winner, right? And in the story that we just heard, there were two people, James and John, who were kind of being sore winners. They wanted to be sitting right up there with Jesus and be the winners, right? But what did all the other disciples think of that? And what, most importantly, what did Jesus think of that? Well said. Jesus thought they were kind of being greedy and they didn't get it, right? So instead of trying to be the winner in all this, Jesus wants us to go out and to help other people so that everybody can be a winner in a way, right? Yeah. And so that's what Jesus is asking us to do today. And I'd like us to think about that and think of ways that we can be the ones that can go out and help other people. And even though sometimes it's fun to play a game and be the winner, we also want to remember the other people that are playing with us and help them feel good about the game too, right? Okay. So thank you, God, for giving us games to play with each other and things that we can do as a group. Thank you for the lessons that you teach us about remembering that the winning isn't the important part, and serving other people is. And thank you for the prayer that you taught us to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
invite you to be with me in prayer. Loving God, I pray that your words might be in the midst of mine, and that the word that we need for the living of this day, the living of this season, the living of this time, might fall upon ears and hearts and minds that are open to receive it and lives that are willing to be changed by it. Amen. Anyone who does any sort of communicating with people, particularly large groups of people, know that if you want everyone to get what you're trying to get them to get, you have to say it a lot of times, in a lot of different ways. Email, text, in print, a phone call, an announcement, carrier pigeon, smoke signal, and still, there will be questions and people who say they've never knew and never heard. It's something we come to anticipate and accept, and based on how our gospel readings have gone these past few weeks, I think it's something Jesus knew as well. We have been in the Gospel of Mark for a few weeks now, and I'm not going to lie to you, it feels like we've been talking about the same thing over and over and over again. The upside-down kingdom, the last being first, the first being last, we get it. Or at least we should by now. I think it's safe to say that Jesus really wanted his disciples, including us, to catch this drift, to pay close attention to this idea, to try really hard to wrap our minds and our hearts around it. Because it is the very heart, the very soul of Christ's message, his ministry, and his existence. In our continuation of Mark chapter 10 this morning, a pretty bold request is made by James and John, two brothers who leave their father's lucrative fishing business to become disciples. Now, these two brothers have a bit of a reputation for being rather zealous and hot-headed. In fact, somewhere in the Gospels, Jesus actually calls them sons of thunder, which sounds pretty intense, but feels fitting given their audacious behavior, particularly in this scene we meet them in today. I don't know about you, but when I hear James and John make their brazen demand of Jesus in our passage today, I am just aghast. These two have some guts, don't they? Can you imagine standing in front of the actual Jesus and saying, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you"? Now, I guess Jesus knew them and their reputation, so I'd like to think he isn't totally shocked by their demands. But the worst part is they don't stop there. "Arrange it," they say, "so that we will be awarded the highest places of honor in your glory. One of us on your right and the other on your left." It seems that they are, out of their pride, asking for power and promotion that they think they deserve for being faithful followers. Glory isn't a word we use very much nowadays. It's kind of a churchy word that we hear in sermons and hymns. But let's face it, though our vocabulary differs, we know what James and John are asking for. Power, fame, kudos, praise, distinction, honor, success, place of pride, pats on the back, applause. These two disciples want to win. They want to finish first and retire as privileged favorites with unique, intimate access to Jesus's power and glory. In fact, they don't simply want these things, they're convinced that they deserve them, that they're entitled to them. As we find ourselves doing so many times throughout the Gospels, after James and John ask Jesus these presumptuous questions, we wonder, how will Jesus respond? But he doesn't rebuke them or reject them, and instead, Jesus looks at them with great compassion and with way more patience than I would. But he also doesn't sugarcoat reality. 3 times already, Jesus has explained to all of the disciples that while he would indeed come into his own, it would be necessary for him to be condemned to death and to be handed over and to be mocked and flogged and finally crucified. Clearly, all of that had gone in one ear and out the other. As far as his followers were concerned, he was on the fast track to glory, and they wanted to ride his coattails to victory with him. And so again, Jesus tries to explain. He wants these brothers to understand that glory looked a lot less like riding a victory train into the sunset and a lot more like climbing a ladder down to greatness. So Jesus warns them of what would be involved in their quest for kingdom greatness. He explains that greatness for him always involves suffering. And he's not quite sure the disciples really get that. Jesus asks them, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" Both the analogy of the cup and the word baptism were used figuratively in the ancient world for suffering and for great responsibility. Jesus is asking these two brothers if they can suffer the same type of suffering and bear the weight that he is preparing to bear. In other words, Jesus asked James and John if they can handle the cross, if they can walk the talk, if they can be who they say they are, if they can follow, if they can stand behind all that comes with all they want. "Well, of course we are able," they say. Jesus continues, "To sit at my right hand or my left isn't even mine to grant," he says. "If you want to be close to me, you will have to come to where I will be. And I myself have never been one to sit at the head of the table. I've never been ushered into the VIP section." That's the way it is with the Gentiles. They see power and greatness and strength and lording it over others and getting to the first of the line. "But things are completely reversed in my kingdom," he says. "To be great is to be a servant. I am not here to see what I can get, but to see what I can give, to give my life as a ransom for many." I'd never really thought about this before, but when you look around at our world today, clearly the more popular choice is to be served. Most vacation destinations don't try to lure us by inviting us to come and cook our own meals or clean our own rooms. Most restaurants don't try to attract customers by telling them that they can wash their own dishes. In the eyes of the world, the path to greatness clearly lies in being served in more ways than one. We can be assured that we have made it. We have achieved worldly greatness when we spend our lives being served by others. And yet, Jesus' life was always great in the eyes of his heavenly Father. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And he invites us, his followers, to do the same, to spend our lives looking for opportunities to give to others what Jesus has given to us. I admit, when I hear the word service out of the context of Jesus and the scriptures, the first thing that comes to mind is something someone might say about a favorite restaurant or a really good experience at a car dealership or Best Buy. When we think of service, we do often think of places where we are served well, or we ought to be served well, where our needs are met, where our questions are answered, where we get what we want, what we paid for, what we think we deserve. And I wonder if the disciples were thinking of themselves here too, thinking of what served them well. I know we all roll our eyes and get down on the disciples for being a bit dense and having selective hearing and for needing to be told the same thing in thousands of different ways and for failing time and time again to wrap their heads around what Jesus is saying. But I imagine hearing that the one you have claimed as Savior is going to die and leave you is scary and disheartening and traumatic, especially for people who have given up literally everything to follow him. Jesus rising in glory serves the disciples as much as it does him. If James and John are at the right and the left hand, then that means that Jesus is at the center, high and lifted up, and all is right with the world. And most importantly, all is right with their worlds. But all this talk of him with his feet on the ground of humanity, suffering and dying, well, that's not how it's supposed to go, and it certainly doesn't serve the disciples well, or so they think. But when it comes to Jesus, service isn't about others serving us well. It's about serving others well. Whoever wishes to become great among you must become a servant, just like Jesus, the Son of Man, who came not to be served, but to serve. As I shared in the words on the front cover of this morning's bulletin, if you've ever Googled a restaurant, you know that people are eager to write reviews and make comments about the service, particularly if it isn't good. But when is the last time we reviewed our service to others, the kind that Christ models and calls us to? When is the last time we've asked ourselves if we're living with entitlement or humility? Are we more concerned about what we deserve to get or what we have to give? Do we too say to Jesus, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you"? Are we demanding great service or are we demonstrating great service? What James and John, what we all often fail to understand is that service in the kingdom of God is not a second-class means to a first-class end. Service is the end. Giving of ourselves is abundance. Empowering others is power. Humility is honor. Compassion for others is comfort. Grace for others is glory. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first must be last. The only path to success in Jesus' kingdom is through the surrendering of our most cherished forms of entitlement. Glory, yes, but glory that is not about being above. Glory that is about being with and being for. It's a little scary, I know, but that is the heart of faith. Jesus came to comfort that within each of us is troubled and to trouble that which in each of us is comfortable. Our faith assures us that it will all be okay, and our faith reminds us that there is so much in the world that is very much not okay. The theologian Soren Kierkegaard made a distinction between those who esteem Christ and those who follow Christ, who truly want to go his way. If you esteem Christ, then you lift him higher and higher and hope that you can grab hold of those coattails so you'll go higher and higher too. But if you follow him, you go along with him into God's kingdom, to the place where the people who throw their weight around end up sitting at the table by the kitchen door, and those who didn't call ahead for a reservation are the ones who are given the best seats in the house. Our Lenten theme this season, our call for life as followers of Christ, is to follow him. not to where we want or need him to go, but to where he leads us, down the ladder of greatness, around the edges, to the cross, to the grave, out into a hurting world. I want to end this morning by sharing of words of one who taught this truth so very well. Martin Luther King Jr. once preached a very famous sermon on this very gospel reading, and he helped his listeners to see a path to greatness that they assumed was unavailable to them. Oppressed, poor, often uneducated, with challenges that we have trouble even imagining, his listeners couldn't fathom that they could ever be great. But Martin Luther King Jr. used this gospel reading to show them a different path to greatness that is available to all people. Here's what he said. Jesus gave us a new form of greatness. If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. And that's what I like about it. By giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics in physics to serve, thank God. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. And you can be that servant. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. I think you'll agree that some of the greatest people this world has ever seen had little more than that. With a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love, they found a way to serve others and devoted their lives to that work. And we can too. Following the example of Jesus, we can know glory and greatness by serving others, by looking for opportunities to give to others what Jesus has first given to us. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And there is an invitation for each of us to do the same, to the glory of God. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
As we move into a time of prayer, there are a couple of joys to share this morning. Noah Timothy, a cousin of the Hogan family, came home yesterday after 50 days in the NICU. That's a great news. And a belated happy birthday to Gregory Salmon. There are no concerns written in the book this morning, but I'm sure we all have our own concerns upon our hearts. So be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, your lessons can be difficult. Upon reflection, we have to admit that we see ourselves at times in the disciples' words and behaviors as conveyed through the Gospel of Mark, and in the words and behaviors of those who misuse power. We sometimes have a me-first attitude, and so we want or vie for attention and greatness at the expense of others. Or we want to be great so we can have honor unearned, power over others without respect for their needs or desires, or wealth to flaunt and often gained at the expense of or on the backs of others. We thank you profusely for listening to us and understanding us as you did James and John, for not sending us away, but instead for continuing to teach and try to reach us. We pray that you will open our hearts and minds so that we may absorb and live the lessons. Help us understand that to be part of your eternal kingdom means that we are here to serve one another and your whole creation. Means that power is through you and for the benefit of others, by healing others and the world's wounds, for providing sustenance and shelter while recognizing your likeness in and treating all with dignity and respect. And it also means that wealth should be used to honor you and share it with others. As we survey the world today, it's easy for us to say that the widespread harm caused by the misuse and misunderstanding of power, often in the name of religion, is someone else's problem. The wars in Gaza and Ukraine come to mind, as does the systemic discrimination, the backsliding and squashing of women's and minority groups' rights in our own country. We feel powerless. We pray that you will continue to teach and try to reach the world's leaders to turn these and other situations around. But also use us. Make us great collectively, justly and effectively wielding your power to help heal these and other rifts and create a just world for all. Make us your instruments of peace. As we prayerfully reflect, we thank you for all our blessings, especially for this opportunity today to gather with each other to worship you and to find in our community comfort and support, strength and renewal for our minds, bodies, and spirits as we travel on this Lenten journey to reorient ourselves and follow you. Loving God, we know that you love and care and watch over all of us every day. We also ask that you comfort and bless those among us who are suffering or struggling today. We lift them up in our hearts to you. We ask that you comfort and bless with your healing presence their families and their loved ones who may be grieving. Give them the courage and healing presence needed to comfort those who are sick in their families and need support. Loving God, we know you also share our joys that flow from your many blessings. And so we lift up and celebrate Noah Timothy and Gregory Salmon this morning. Loving God, we know you hear all the prayers that are on our hearts and in our minds, that you hear every name we speak or contemplate in prayer. Please hear those names and prayers now as we silently address them to you. Loving God, we thank you for hearing every one of our prayers with love and compassion, for answering them with love and compassion in ways compatible with your divine will and grace. We lift up all our prayers to you now. Amen.
As we move into our time of offering today, I want to draw your attention to a special offering on this day. It is our One Great Hour of Sharing offering. And I'm going to read to you what is in our bulletin because I think it's great information. One Great Hour of Sharing special mission offering of the United Church of Christ involves you in disaster, refugee, immigration, and development ministries throughout the world. When a disaster strikes or people are displaced or made refugees by violence or extreme poverty, you are part of the immediate response and of the long-term recovery process. Your contributions to One Great Hour of Sharing put you in the right place at the right time for relief, accompaniment, and recovery of the most vulnerable. You meet immediate needs and you address the underlying causes that create those needs in the first place. So we lift up our One Great Hour of Sharing offering this day. And as we prepare for our offering to be collected this morning, we are reminded that giving is a way of showing our gratitude and our thanksgiving for the gifts that we have received and for the opportunity to share them with one another, with our church, with our community, and with our world. So let us give generously this morning as we receive our offering.
Thank you.
God, into your hands we place these tithes and offerings, and into our hands you place the responsibility and the call to use them in service of your people, your church, and your world. We thank you, O God, for each of these gifts and for those who gave them, and we ask that you continue to fill us with a deep desire to share our gifts of every kind with one another. For as we share with one another, we share with you. Amen. Before you leave this space this morning, I want to invite you to share the peace of Christ that is ours with one another. Turn to your neighbor, find someone you haven't seen in a while, let them know you are glad they are here, and then head downstairs to join in a time of fellowship and goodies. There's some soup to be bought, and then go out into the world. I hope that the words great service are on your mind, not because you're going to give us a Yelp review or because this time here has been so great, but because it is our call from Christ Jesus himself to go out into the world to be of service to one another. As you do that, may you know that you are filled with the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the power of God's Holy Spirit. Amen.